Hi, welcome to the Teams podcast series. I'm Al Ritchie from Lateral Coaching.
And I'm Ian Farrington from ProDev UK Limited.
So Ian, this is the first one where we get into a bit of detail. Why are we here? This is a pretty big topic.
It is, and perhaps a little surprising because it's such an obvious question, you think we'd all understand it. And we'd all know the answer in our teams.
Oh, I bet we don't.
No. And what is quite worrying is the very high percentage of people who claim that the lack of clarity on purpose is one of the main issues within their team. And you see this in survey after survey after survey, and it's up at the order of 70, 75, 80% of staff and team members thinking, we just don't know what we're here for.
That's a staggering percentage. 75%?
Yeah. It's up in those sort of numbers. It depends which survey you get. So there's a range, but it's typically in that sort of three quarters of people have lost that understanding, if they ever had it, of the purpose of their team.
Wow. I could easily accept 50% based on just what one season is, but I'd no idea is that sort of... Anyway, that's by the by.
Well, except it isn't, of course. That's the point. Because if you don't know what you're there to do, chances that you're going to do it tend to diminish just a little. It's as simple as that. It's a lot easier to get things done when you know why you're there and what you're supposed to be doing. Yeah, simple fact of life.
Indeed.
And again, it sounds like a simple thing to achieve, but actually there is effort in understanding what a compelling purpose is, how it should be shaped. And it's important to understand that not just for what the team is and which way it's looking, but of course with purpose, you entail a number of other issues. So you need then to understand how that purpose sits with the team and the corporate strategy, how that sits in terms of access to and management of resources, how that sits in the broader context, be that functional for your organisation or social for, say, a charity, and how that's working with its sponsors and stakeholders. Also has a direct impact on things like authority and accountability.
That's a lot of areas.
Yeah. You know, but you can't really hold someone to account if you can't really measure their performance, if you don't know what it is they're supposed to be doing because the vision and the purpose haven't been set. So all of this flows quite directly from that simple lack of clarity around purpose.
So it's almost like a chain reaction,
yes,
isn't it?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, that's quite scary. Okay, so where do we start from?
Well, I suppose we start with purpose. And again, it's one of those, you know, Kant terms in organisational theory, and businesses all talk about purposes and aims and missions and drives. It's getting down to the brass tacks of what is it we actually mean by that and what does a good purpose look like? And I suppose if we start thinking about the features of a compelling purpose, for any team, really, you'd expect certainly several things to be present. You'd expect the purpose to be in some way strategic. You know, if you're putting a team together to do the week's shopping, you've probably missed the point.
Yeah, that's fair. That's
you know, to cartoon that extreme. If you're bringing people together, you're taking them away from other parts of your organisation, or you're spending money to bring in new people to create this team, there's a direct expense, there's a direct impact.
Sure.
So it ought to be looking, you ought to be looking towards some kind of effect at the strategic organisational level.
Okay, so I've got a question in. You state strategic. Could it not be tactical as well, or alternatively?
So I think the point is that the tactics come from the strategy. You know, having that shape of the direction you're going in, and you then have, there is then a strategy, which pure strategy is how to, of do we do this with big picture stuff, do we do this with tactical stuff. There is the reality of stuff needs to be done today because there are things that are urgent and inescapable, whether we need them, whether we want them or not. But fundamentally, if there isn't that strategic sense of where you're going, the risk is if it all becomes about tactics, then it's actually a lot of action, a lot of activity, not necessarily going anywhere.
Yeah, so disappearing round and round in circles, basically. Yeah, so, I just thought it was worth exploring because somebody's going to say,
A good point, but it's about tactical action within and thinking within that broader strategic context.
Sure, Okie dokie.
I think probably the next thing that you would look for in a good team purpose is that it needs to be unique. And this actually is less about focus and more about efficient resource. If you've pulled together a team that isn't doing something unique, why are you wasting your time pulling together the team? Because okay, so other people are doing it.
Yeah, fair enough. But this is a team within an organisation or within whatever it happens to be. It's not unique on the planet.
No, it's about not duplicating focus or effort with the resources that you have, because whatever organisation you're in, your resources are scarce. Now, once you get up into the very, very high level strategy, you are starting to think about the purpose itself being unique. And you might start to consider that in terms of where a team is a board at, say, Save the Children level. You can see there might be some unique aspects there.
Yeah.
And that's fine to be looking that way. But even down at the kind of the workaday team, understanding why it's us now in this way is really important. Otherwise, other people should be doing it rather than wasting energy and resource on this new team.
Gotcha.
Okay. Next feature, I think, for me is a purpose has to be compelling. And typically, when we look at sort of the way that personalities work, we often talk about people who are a bit more focused on thinking and ideas and people who are a bit more focused on feeling, emotion and relations. Actually, a good purpose will engage both.
Yeah, that's true.
And it needs to do that, because if we're going to be doing something for either very intensely for a few months or with great intensity for 2 years, as it turned out for the core NHS teams working on COVID, you've really got to have that motivation to keep going when times are tough, when things don't work the way you want.
So it's almost like coping with partial failures on a repeated basis to get to where you need to get to at least start the process.
Yeah. There's a definite iterative sense to
so,
that.
Yeah, compelling is a good word for that one. Okay, so the next point you've got is collective, yes?
Yes. This is quite an interesting one about the notion of what a team is. The first strike for a team is, well, we bring some people together and magic happens, and often it does, and that's great, but maybe not the most efficient way to make it happen. But actually, one of the things that the studies suggest is that really effective teams are at their most effective when they are working as a team, not working as individuals in the same space with the same mission. And there is a difference there.
There is.
And it's about that ability to tag team with each other, to optimise each other, to support each other.
To bounce off each other.
And to bounce off each other. And so there is something there about making sure that that purpose is collective. It's about us all. It's not just about the team leader standing up and sort of getting the praise or giving a lecture on how well the team did. It's about the whole team being there, taking part, taking the hits, taking the rewards too.
Mm. Yeah, I'm sure we've all seen cases where there's been a team member who is physically present, but actually isn't part of the team for one reason or another.
Yeah, and part of that is often because they don't feel part of what the team is there to deliver.
Yeah, exactly.
They feel marginalised in some way. So those things matter. There's a cluster of things associated with purpose around vision and mission and drive. And people have different takes on what they are, what they mean, how we should define them. I think for me, it's about recognising there is something there that, along with the strategic and the tactical, it's about having something that is conceptual, something that is tangible.
Yeah.
And so those two riding in tandem as well. So it's not just what will wonderful look like when we've done the thing that we're here to do as a team. It's understanding what that means in practice. And it's understanding how the people you are trying to support or satisfy, depending on the context of your purpose, how they will know and appreciate that they've got whatever they were looking for because of what the team has done.
I'm with you there.
It's an interesting one there, this space. And if I'm honest, I'm still not resolved in my own mind about this. It's whether a purpose should be finite.
Okay, let's explore that one a wee bit, because I'd like to see where you're going.
Okay, so if you think about this from a project or even a program perspective, then there should be a set of finite outcomes that enables you to say, project has succeeded, program has succeeded, we now go away and life carries on as normal, yeah. Whatever that new normal is.
Yeah. We all go live, ticks and boxes, job done,
yeah.
Praise all round.
Yeah. And the kind of, therefore, the instinctive assumption is maybe that should be true for teams too.
Well, if a team is brought together to do a particular project, and that project has now completed and gone live, that team's function for that particular project is done. It doesn't mean it's the end of the team, because the team may then take on another project, of course.
So I think from the perspective of purpose, what it's pushing out for me is there's something around the clarity of the purpose at the right level.
Mm. Yeah.
Because if in effect you start defining the team purpose as the project and its outputs, or the program and its outcomes, that's absolutely fine, but then you need to recognise that there is a point at which that team needs to come away.
Yep, and another team takes over. Yeah. The day-to-day running, for example, or the support, doesn't matter what it is, but... Yeah.
If, however, you're bringing, say, together a team that's going to focus on improving care for a certain age group...
Long-term.
That's much more long-term. That's going to involve lots of little projects.
Yeah.
And so there's something about making sure that how we land our sense of purpose is about that bigger purpose, which will have its milestones of project deliverables and program deliverables along the way, so that we don't suddenly get to that point where, well, we came together as a team to help improve care for the elderly, so we've introduced these measures in Project A, therefore we're done. We can then lose sight of what we're here to do once that job has been done. And then things tend to fall apart and the team starts to make less sense. And then value declines.
Yeah. And you end up with the team asking why they're here.
Yeah.
So exactly. We've gone around the circle in quite a good way.
Yeah.
I have to admit that I've not thought of teams in that particular way before. I've been a project director, project manager, whatever, for many times. And the project, end of one project, has invariably led to the start of the next project. But the people within the team, as the project director or manager, I'm still there, but I might be dealing with a different bunch of developers or different people in marketing or whatever happens to be. Legal tends to stay the same. Finance tends to stay the same. But yeah, that's a good insight.
So I think you get two interesting flips. There's the flip you've described where, unbeknownst to you almost, your team changes.
Yeah, it is.
And then suddenly there's a kind of, this doesn't feel like Kansas anymore, Toto. Well, there's a reason for that. It's because the ground and the context have changed. And that's not been recognised and addressed. The other flip, and it's one I've had some interesting conversations about in the coaching context, is one of the teams that we tend to forget about as a team is the board.
Yeah. And it is very much a team, possibly the team.
And once you start asking them about purpose, once you start asking them about collective ownership, that they can become very interesting conversations for board members. Because there is a tendency and there is a pressure, and it's all understandable, so you know, no one's sort of trying to be superior here. There is a tendency to represent your finance area or your customs area or your sales area, mm-hmm. because of the way these pressures work. That's not the same as thinking as a leadership team about your organizational outputs and outcomes. And there's an important flip of perspective required in that space.
Okay, that brings us straight back to the point you made earlier on about people working in a team as an individual representing their particular function. Now, the project team, that function may be that QA. But at a board level, doing that, then you're getting quite blinkered in terms of you're not thinking of the organisation, you're thinking of your own division, department as part of that organisation. Yeah.
There's an interesting flip in any organisational hierarchy between when you start looking down from a top-down perspective, big strategy down to delivery, and when you start looking up from that bottom-up sense of here are the basic things I need to do, how do these add up? At some point, those two perspectives have to be married to make sense of what an organisation is doing. If that's only happening or only available to happen at the board level, that can create some interesting dynamics and tensions for the board team. So that's probably a nice leaping point to pick up on some of those other areas I mentioned that tend to fall out of this question of purpose. Because, of course, if there is a purpose, as an organisation, that purpose ought to have something to say about strategy.
Yep.
There ought to be some degree of alignment. There ought to be some degree of positive interaction. The one should feed the other.
Yes, indeed.
And in many respects, the one should embody the other. But you can only have that cycle of interaction if the purpose is actually understood and crystallised into something meaningful for people to talk about and consider in those contexts. And that word context then takes me on to that broader sense of context.
Yep.
Because purpose is never about the team sat in its bubble.
No.
Purpose is about having an effect beyond the team, often beyond the organisation. And so there's a whole question of relevance and fit of your purpose to that broader context.
So this is, again, stepping outside, as you said, outside the organisation. So it could be suppliers, it could be customers, it could be the environment, it could be all sorts of different areas.
That whole chain can go out much further than we tend to think.
Mm.
And yet, we may tend to look only at the first two steps in that chain when we're thinking about communications, when we're thinking about context, when we're thinking about impact.
Yeah.
And we miss both risks and opportunities through taking that narrower view.
Yes, you can see that in some of the companies who've not successfully negotiated the last few years, shall we say, where they've been blind to the greater risk that's been external.
At its most basic, one of the things about teams is if they are pulled together and doing something unique and something distinct, they're going to have some kind of impact on their organisation.
Yep.
Do we understand that? Do we manage that? What does that mean for the rest of the organisation? So if you take going back into a project space, most of us the last 20, 30 years have at some point dealt with, been part of, been victim to an IT enhancement project.
Yeah, probably run by me.
And you can talk about all the team stuff you like in the world. Until the thing is actually embedded in the larger organisation and in that bigger context. So if you are going to change, for example, your CRM suite, and you've pulled together a project team to do that, it's not just about delivering the tech, it's about delivering the change in attitude and behaviour in the organisation. It's about delivering a change in the engagement with those stakeholders who are going to feature in your CRM suite.
Yeah, that's very true. And I would say that in many projects that I've either been involved in or been looking at, then there has been engagement across, so that the guy is replacing a help desk, for example. And that has been echoed up and down, so that people are, in the majority of cases, but not all. And occasionally you've had people saying, why are we doing this? Or that's just not going to work with these customers.
And I think that picks up on a couple of other interesting aspects that then fall out of purpose. One is the easy one. And it's a well-worn path. We don't need to spend a lot of time on it, but it matters. And that's actually communications.
Yeah.
Understanding who your stakeholders are, engaging with them, and making sure they understand what you're there to do. Ideally, let's be honest, having a conversation as opposed to simply a download around what your purpose is, how that might affect them, and actually whether that's entirely correct for their needs.
One can view a download as passing on a statement or passing on information, but it's not interactive in any way. And that interaction from a conversation can greatly enhance understanding.
Well, it's that basic thing. So one of the more lighthearted coaching conversations I often have is talking through with clients their favourite preposition to go with the word communicate.
Okay, give me some examples.
Well, what we often experience is to, yeah, at, round, over, through. Very less often, I find in practice, is it with.
Well, well, well. I buy that. I was thinking, as you said that, what would I say? To was there a long time before with.
It's the natural instinct. We, as creatures, we have an instinct for action.
True.
And to go with our action is we want to let people know what we're doing. So much of teamwork, and we come on in some of our later podcasts, we'll be talking about team of teams and integration with other types of stakeholders. So much about of what we're doing and the really rich, genuinely value-added stuff is not about implementing a system or an app or a new process. It's about the interaction and creation of new understanding and new meaning between stakeholders.
Yep.
But that often sort of comes quite late in the thinking and quite late in the day. For lots of reasons we understand. Mm. But that then turns into resistance, opposition, questioning of what your project's there to do or what your team is there to do in that more general team context. So communication about, for, and through that purpose actually should be daily bread of what a team is doing for all of those reasons. Mm.
Yeah. Okay. Have we just about got purpose sorted?
So I think there are a couple of other things I'd like to pick up on.
Yeah, go for it.
First, and they're linked, are authority and accountability. One of the classic jokes, I mean, you can think of an awful lot of 70s and 80s sitcoms, comedy films and so on, where the team is created or a person is told that they are responsible for doing X, Y, and Z, and then put in a position where it is patently clear they will never be able to deliver it.
Yeah.
Because they haven't had the authority delegated to them. They are not in a position to delegate to others where they need to get work done. They don't necessarily have the competence, either individually or collectively, to take the work forward, and that's particularly where there are commercial, financial, legal aspects that need to be viewed. All of that will tend to erode organisational validity. And as soon as there's a scent of this team isn't real, then we go on with the day job and we ignore what the team's doing. Allied to that is the whole question then of KPIs and metrics.
Yeah, okay.
And we're not collectively as good as we ought to be about either. But if we're going to have a purpose that leads to a new outcome, we ought to have some way of measuring
indeed
that we've got there, and also measuring how we are getting there so that we can tell our team story of what we're delivering, how and why, but also when this thing becomes part of the new organisational reality, the organisation has that story of why it's in this place, why it's using this capability, this output, this outcome, whatever the result of that purpose is.
Yeah. In other words, it's not been developed in isolation.
Yeah. And so for that, you actually need to take some time to think about metrics, take some time to think about the KPIs, which then also feed into accountability. And again, there's an interesting balancing act here. At the end of the day, we are all individuals in our careers, and we have our performance records, and we have to achieve certain things in order to progress, and that's fine. But actually, if as a team we are not seen and held to account collectively,
mm-hmm,
we're probably not really a team.
We're just a bunch of individuals.
Yeah. And there is a different ethos, there's a different culture in a team where there is collective responsibility and reward. Because then we have a clear vested interest in how we work together, as opposed to how I do my bit of what the team's being asked to do. And it just changes the whole dynamic. But you have to get it right. So it takes time. And unlike so many other bits of startup, because we're creatures of action, we want to get into the meat of it, actually taking that breath up front to think about these things tends to reduce risk. It tends to lead to people being clearer about what they're trying to do. And as a result, you actually tend to get to the end goal rather faster and in rather better shape. So there's a bit around ownership and leadership and confidence here to start slow and not to finish fast.
Yeah.
And that takes a bit of nerve.
It does. It does.
Okay, Ian, we've looked at purpose and a little bit on accountability and a little bit on ownership. But there's a whole load of other things in there that we've not delved into. Those will be subjects for webinars, seminars and so on, and maybe papers as well that can come out. But for now, I think if we leave it where we are, could I just ask you to do a bit of a wrap up?
Absolutely. I do hope people will come and join us in the webinars and seminars, because there is a lot of value here to that ability to take stock and all to move forward. So I think my parting comments really on this session today are that obvious question, why we're here. You need to ask it when a team is forming.
Yeah.
You need to ask it when a team is changing. The whole team needs to understand it. And actually, we need to think about the implications of that purpose, which I hope is going to be strategic and compelling and unique and collective. How is that going to work within the context of the organisation or the work that you're doing?
Great. Ian, thanks very much for that.
My pleasure.